say ain't no good, and I'm crazy as a loon. Cause I shave my head in the morning, pick guitar in the afternoon. Just like old Chief and Charlie, I like to lay around in the shade. Well, I ain't got no money, but you better believe I got it made. Cause I ain't asking nobody for nothing if I can't get it on my own. Just leave this bald-headed country boy alone.
Before we start this episode of the Josh Terry Podcast, we want to thank all of our sponsors. Blazer 88, Project K9 Hero, Lori's Dive-In, 601 Roofing King, and Blue Collar Alliance. Down Yonder Hat Co., Cottonfield Grill, Cashman's Pub, Better Than Basic Marketing, Middle Georgia Total Health, Noble's Dirt Works, Nobles Networking, Mischief Media, Yankee Paradise South, Web Space Today, and 22 Sierra Coffee. Go to my personal Facebook, Josh Terry, and you can find every one of these companies. They're part of our Facebook family. And soon they'll be on the JoshTerryPodcast.com. All their links and everything will be easy to find. Now, let's get into the show. What's up, folks? Thank y'all tuning to the Josh Terry Podcast. I want to thank each and every one of y'all for listening. I got somebody with me today that's been on several shows. It's part of the family that I haven't been able to see since New Year's because this bitch has been fucking busy. And I've just, you know, well, I couldn't say I've been as busy as her, but I've been busy. But she's been busy. Miss Vegas now, Miss Sarah Blake Cheeks. How you doing, baby?
What's up?
I miss you.
I know.
I guess
it's so busy.
Yeah, I guess it has been New Year since I've seen you.
Yeah, I feel like it's almost been a year.
Well, fuck, it's August. Right? Yeah, it has been. Fuck, it's been 8 months, dude.
That's a long time.
When did you move to Vegas? Like what? Like July or some shit?
Like April.
Oh shit, you have been out here a hot minute.
Yep, I've been out here it doesn't feel like it's been that long because it's Vegas.
Oh yeah, I see you and Maddie, y'all are living it up out there, dude.
Oh my god, it's so different out here. Like just being out here, the energy and the vibe is so like powerful. Everybody is just doing their own thing, and you know, everybody's always so fucking happy. Yeah. So, and well, super friendly.
Well, between the women, the gambling, and all the drugs and alcohol, yeah, there's probably nothing but happiness out there.
I think this is the real life Disney World. Like, this is where happiness is.
Yeah, I'm not going to call Sin City the fucking Disney World, but yeah, whatever you want to call it, dude.
The adult Disney World.
Yeah, yeah. If that's what you want to call it. I wouldn't last 10 minutes without my vices getting the best of me out there.
Why? It's fun. You can just, you know, play horses.
No, I couldn't. Because like I've already told Maddie before, and I know y'all have invited me out several times. I already have to be careful going to casinos because like I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not a drug addict, but like when I get to a casino, something happens to me. Like, and every time I've ever been, it's like, you know what? I would mortgage my house. I like if I was down, like I know I would. It'd be like, hey, I'd sell a kidney. Like, and I'm not like that with any other way. Like, I've never been so thirsty for a beer. It'd be like, I might suck dick for a beer. But I've been like down to my last 100 playing Mississippi Sud. It'd be like, let a millionaire throw out the right amount of money and I might go gay for a little bit.
Oh my God. Now I guess that's the mentality here. Everybody's just like the yes mentality.
Yeah. It's like, I was
gambling and I had no idea that you get like free drinks while you're gambling. So I literally was just kind of like, this is fucking awesome. If I'm just standing here and then like I throw a dice every now and then, I get free drinks. Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird atmosphere. It is a fucking weird atmosphere. I don't know. And then there's so much stuff too out there. Like, and no, I'm not knocking anybody when I say this, but like, I already have like a problem with women as it is, and it just seems like I would fucking lose my mind out there. Like, I would. Like, I would. It's, I don't know.
The prettiest people live here. Like, it's the prettiest people
Yeah,
ever.
that's why I don't need to be there. I don't want to be there. I don't want to fucking turn around and everybody I see, look, I just don't want to do it. I want to
You
see
know
some
what's
trash.
funny is I'm like the white trash Vegas
Oh,
version
I
of
imagine you are. I know you, bitch.
that. So Lambert actually texted Matt the other day, and he was like, "Oh, I think I might come to Vegas for NFR in December." And when I tell you, my stomach started to hurt. I was like, "Oh, my liver! Like, I gotta prepare myself for December already." Like, oh God! I'm
Oh no,
like Lambert out here. Oh my God!
it's hard enough being in Nashville with that piece of shit. I he's not anybody I'm not venturing too far off from Nashville or anywhere like that from. I don't even want to go to the fucking beach with him. But I imagine there's people that also have said that about me before. Like, Vegas and me just are not gonna agree.
Listen,
I don't know if I want to find out.
I saw some of your new TikToks where you're slim and trim and feeling all cocky about yourself, and I was like, oh boy, Nashville's about to have a problem.
Well, I don't know because I can't drink that much right now. Like I've backed off of my drinking so much and like trying to get healthy. And I don't know. Like I've cut my drinking so far back. I was supposed to go to Nashville next week, but Live Oak hasn't opened their new location yet. And they were supposed to open it up next week and it's not going to. So now we're not open. We're not going to do our next show until which I was going to invite you and Maddie to this, by the way. It's our 2-year anniversary show, but it's also my birthday show. September the 11th. My birthday, September the 10th. But that whole week, we do stupid shit. But we're also going to Floribama the 12th for the Raised Rowdy Takeover, which I'm helping host. So we're like at Floribama for 4 or 5 days after being in Nashville for 2 or 3. Yeah, I'm gonna die that week. But my goal is my high school weight, and I know that y'all don't see this because y'all was not around me. Fucking, I'll be 37 this year. So 20 years ago, I was an athlete. Like I was an athlete. I wanna be back down to 210 by then, and I'm only about 8 pounds away from it by now.
Wow.
Like I'm that close, and my high school playing weight with everything was 200 pounds, but I don't want to be 200 pounds. I think I look sick at 200 pounds. I don't, if I get 200 or under, I think I won't look healthy. 210 is probably about where I want to be. I want to probably be like muscle, more muscle, but be 210 to 215, but I'm almost there. But by the time we go to my birthday shit, oh yeah, I'm gonna be looking like a motherfucking snack. But no, I've backed off my drinking and some other
Hide your
shit.
moms.
Oh yeah, but I'm telling you, I'm gonna be a problem. But I say that too, and like I've kind of, in all honesty, kind of given up women for a little bit right now. And
Probably
like,
good.
yeah, it kind of is. It kind of hard a little bit because it's kind of my favoriteest thing in the world. But after this last situation, like I can't take anything else right now. Like I can't take like a another like emotional tie or anything right now. Like I just can't. Like I'm not
It's
emotional.
hard.
Yeah, like I and the thing is, I can't blame anybody for like that situation. Like I can't point fingers at nobody but probably myself. And that's where like the past 2 months. Like it's been 3 months since the breakup, but the first month I was a fucking raving lunatic. But the past two is where I've got like closer to my faith, my health, and all this other shit. And like there was a lot of shit that I was fucked up about, dude. And like I was masking it with alcohol and other stuff and just I just was not a very happy person. Y'all might not even like me the next time you're around me. Like, I just, like, I'm very happy now. Like, I'm extremely, like, don't get me wrong.
Wait,
I'm still,
what?
I'm super happy now. Like, I don't, I think that before I had a false sense of happiness. Like, I think I was projecting what I wanted. So, okay. So, like, I'll give you a little insight, Dick, because I've been doing a little self-discovery and everything. Okay, so like everybody's got their own version of success, right?
Right.
I think what I had built in my head with the show and with the success, in quotations, for all those who can't see this, I think I had built this image in my head that, oh, I've got this, I've got that, shows in the top 1%, all this kind of stuff. I'm successful, so I'm happy. I was not happy. I'd get home, and like this is what would suck. I'd get home away from you guys, and I was miserable.
Right.
Like from Sunday when I was by myself until Friday, until like she would get here on Fridays. That gap, unless Gracie was here, I was fucking miserable.
Yeah.
Like hated being alone. I hated being by myself. Like I would end up drinking or doing something stupid during the week because I was bored as hell. Like that wasn't happiness. Like that wasn't like that's just passing time. Like when you're living for the weekend, like you're missing out on 5 fucking days.
Like, I know.
Why are you're missing out on 70% of your life? Like I just wanted to sleep and drink my life away to get to the weekend. And then it was like, oh, when you get to the weekend, what are you doing? You're drinking, partying, going out.
Yeah.
You're having a good time, or you're enjoying other stuff with people you care about. But it's like you're not doing nothing. Like it was.
Yeah, and you're not living. You're
and I was not taking care of myself whatsoever. Eating like shit, drinking. I was set on a course for like a early death. Like maybe not in 2 years or 10 years, but like I was, if I would have kept that up. Yeah, I would not have. It would not have been a long life for me.
No, there would have been like a heart attack.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
And I thought just because like you go to the doctor and you get checkups and shit, like and you everything like that, like, oh, you're fine now. You're fine now. But it's like, okay, but if there's no way, and this is where like it kind of it like struck a nerve with me. It was like these people that I absolutely idolize in country music and everything else is like. A bunch of them died extremely early. And I think it's cool the way they lived. I think their stories are cool. I don't think their deaths are cool. I would have much rather still had them fucking around. But it's like, right. It's like you have to get it through your head. Like parts of their stories are cool. Like you have to exclude some stuff. And that's where I
feel like, do you feel like you get caught up too?
You do. You do. Yeah, because it's like, and I'm not projecting this on you or anybody else that works in social media. I'm just, this is me. I think we get so wrapped up in what we think we ought to be doing that we forget what we should be doing.
Yes.
Yeah, like it's, and like, I ain't trying to make this more than what it's supposed to be, what I'm saying, but it's like, you know, this, what you're doing right now or what I'm doing, it's not always going to be what you're doing. What's the next thing and how are you preparing for it? And how are you mentally there? How are you setting up your kids? How, like everything else, like what are you actually doing to make the next step for yourself and your family?
Right.
Yeah. And like, I don't know that you have, but I had to take a long ass look in the mirror at myself, and I had to like be like, this just isn't working for me. But what's the like common denominator in every one of these situations? Like I was blame placing for the longest time. It was like, this bitch, like how could you do this to me, or just to somebody else, like why are you acting this way to me, or whoever? Like it wasn't just one person, it was several. And it's like, why? But it's like, if all these people end up having the same conclusion at the end of the day and they have nothing to do with each other, maybe it is me. Like, maybe there is something. Maybe there is some shit that I need to be, like, working on here. And that's hard. That's hard,
it's
dude.
It's hard.
It's hard to look at yourself and be like, yeah, I do need to be fucking doing that.
Like,
you know?
So that's kind of been how my last like few months have been too. And I feel like last year was probably the hardest of that I've ever kind of like been through. And then going forward to this year, it was like, okay, I feel like social media, doing this as a job and as a career, you get so wrapped up because you're always chasing and you're always going because there's no ceiling. So you're like, how far can I take it? What else can I do? And then for me, it's like I had to sit there for a second and say, all right, this was not this right here where I'm chasing this is not what I want. Like, yeah. I am doing this so that I can be a present mom. I'm doing this so I can be with my family all the time. And now I'm traveling or I'm doing this and it's ripping me this direction. And I'm actually turning into this dad that, you know, like is always on their phone working. And I'm missing all of the moments that I like dreamed about having with my kids because I'm constantly chasing something. So I'm like, no, I have to chill out and I have to really plug back into what it is that made me happy.
Yeah.
What, you know, made my kids happy. And, you know, like, I don't have to always be on,
yeah.
You know,
that always being it's on, that always being on shit ruins people. And it,
yes.
And it wears you out.
Yes.
Like it really, really hurts you. And
I wasn't even having conversations with my friends. Like you guys came for New Year's and I like, I don't even think I barely talked to anybody. Cause I was just so at that point, that was when I started the reflection of what is going on with me, you know? Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, dude, if you don't sit back, and everybody needs to do this, not just us, but like if you don't sit back and just figure out like, and this is the most cliche shit because everybody needs money. Everybody has to have money.
Right.
Like there's no way you get around without having money and get to live a life without having money. But money really isn't everything. Like it doesn't. Memories and the relationships you have and the conversations that you have with people and just the smiles and the laughter. Like that's the shit at the end of the day that matters. Like it does. I mean, it does not fucking matter how much money's in your bank account. It really doesn't. And would all of us like to have an infinite supply of it? Absolutely. I mean, everybody be fucking lying if they said they didn't. But at the same time, it's like, what would you rather have? Would you rather be extremely happy and blue collar and every day is just a joy? Or would you rather be fucking rich and miserable?
Right.
Like, it doesn't matter. Why are you stressing yourself out every single day and working overtime? There's a quote that I heard a couple months ago, and it hit me so fucking hard. And it's the only people that remember you worked overtime are your kids.
Right.
Because you wasn't there for their shit. That's the only person that they don't, nobody else remember that you worked an extra 5-6 hours a week. Nobody else remembers. They just remember you wasn't at their ball game. They just remember that mommy or daddy didn't show up for something.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care that you had, you know, an extra couple $100 in your savings account.
Right.
And I know some people have to, you know, they have to have that overtime to keep the lights on. That's a different story, you know, and kids should be grateful for all that type of shit and everything. But yeah, no, there's nobody, your kids don't care. And those would be the ones, those should be the ones that we give a shit about their opinion.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Telling you, I'm just, the past 2 months have been nothing but soul searching, self-reflection, just fucking like when I started this studio, it was different. And like, if it wasn't you, and like, I've tried to like make this clear to some people, I love you. I know you're more than just somebody who does OnlyFans and does the magazines and all that kind of shit. I know what kind of person you are. Like, I value you as a person all the way around. Like, I love you. I would go to hell and back for you and your family. It's how much I think of you. I'm not just having just OnlyFans girls on my show again. Like, I'm just not going to. Like, it's not, that's not what this was starting off. I was happier having people with stories and having people that had something that they could say that was going to change somebody's life or something. Like, that's when I was happy doing this. And that's what got the show to take off. And the show, luckily, has still continued to do well. But that's when I was happy. If people don't want to listen anymore because, like, I didn't have somebody on the show that they like, fuck them. Like, I just at the point now, it's like, I'm not putting out into the world anything. If I already am doing it with music, if I already have made and drove the line in the sand where it's like, I'm not having artists on the show that I don't like. Well, I'm going to stop having people on my show. And there hasn't really been many. Like, I really can't think of anybody that I would say I wouldn't have on the show again, maybe besides for like one or two. But it's just because there's no substance there. They're about them.
Yes.
Like, they're just about fucking them. If I was to have this conversation with them, they'd have turned it into, hey, let me tell you about this content I created the other day. Or, hey, let me blah, 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 blah. Shut the fuck up. Like, I used to would have told you that. And I got away from doing that. And I got a little bit more of, all right, I got to be fucking nice. And I got to go along with this. And I didn't want to.
I know.
And I got complacent. And I don't have to be complacent, and I don't want to be complacent. If you're complacent, it's going to lead to you being bitter. Bitter is going to be to miserable. Miserable is going to be to mad. Yeah. Like, you're not even going to want to fucking work.
Yes. And I mean, I went through that with like everything that I do too. It's like, you get to a point where you're like, all right, I'm not doing this with my heart in it anymore. I'm just literally doing it to maintain. And it's like, you lose yourself. Like I said, you lose yourself in this rat race of whatever it is that's happening. And then, you know, and then everybody kind of pulls you in a different direction. And then you're like, well, hold up. This isn't me. This isn't why I started this. This isn't my purpose. And I feel like one of the special things about you is you are so strong in your purpose. When I met you, like, you know, I want to showcase these people. And like, for example, Brett Scirocchi, hearing his story and hearing, you know, where he comes from and what makes him tick. And then even hearing like Trey Lewis's story, like all of those things are so important and so valuable, because that's what builds a person's long lasting relationship to following them and, you know, wanting to support them and hearing about their story and seeing where they're like taking their life, where it's at now. I mean, that's probably one of the coolest things that I think we share. And I think everybody in our group shares too, is that we're so invested in each other personally. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it takes a village to either raise a kid or be successful. Like, you can't. There was a sermon I was listening to recently, and it was something I'd never thought about the way the dude said it, but it was, you have these people that are, they're always like, I'm going to do me. I'm going to do me. The people that always say, I'm going to do me, are usually the people that never succeed. Mm-hmm. And the reason why they never succeed, it never says in the Bible or in anywhere that I'm going to do me. And like, not to get too biblical for anybody or whatever, like, but it's like, Jesus died for all of our sins. Everything that he did for us, he did for us. If you're going to be a Christian, it's to be Christ-like, right? So we're supposed to be doing everything we do for us, not for me. So we're supposed to be helping out everyone. We're supposed to be, you're supposed to surround yourself with people that you want to help. You don't want to be around people that's going to take from you but not give.
Right.
And with all of us, anybody that we have come in contact with, that we are close with, that is how all of us act. That's how, what our mentality is I want to give to you what you can give to me. And that's what it's always been. It's always been give and take. But we've always met those people too that don't get that point. That they're always like, I'm going to take, take, take. But when it comes time and we're like, hey, we need this, it's like, where you at, bro?
Like, nowhere.
Like, hey, it's your turn.
Remember me?
Yeah. And they're like, oh, no. And like, yeah. You don't have that problem with us.
No. It's not like I actually yesterday I spent an hour on the phone with Gypsy, and it's just so great to talk to her. Like, because it's always my kids are like, "Where you at, Miss Gypsy? Like, where'd you go to now? You know, what are you experiencing? What are you doing?" And that catching up phase, it means so much because you know you get to hear what she's doing, and then she'll say, "Oh, what are you doing?" And it's so special, like the whole dynamic of everybody that's involved, because everybody wants somebody to succeed, but we're genuinely interested in what the other person's actually doing too. You know what I mean?
Well, we're all a little screwed up too. Like in that,
We're all a little nutty.
yeah, we're all screwed up enough. Like I always like to say, messed up people don't judge messed up people. And when people are honest about being a little off, a little messed up, a little sensitive, a little insecure, whatever it is, like you can have conversations and you can talk to that person about being that way. Like if you're openly honest about who you are, then you can connect with somebody on a different level. Gypsy's the same way the rest of us are. We've invested into each other to the point where it's like, on paper, does any of us make friends or being friends make sense? Not really. Like Gypsy's roaming around the country in her van doing whatever she wants. You're out in Vegas doing whatever you want. I'm over in Georgia doing whatever the hell I want. Like it doesn't really make that much sense. But you get us together and it's just like shit. It's like family.
It
It's
really
like
is.
we got to pick our family. And
Yes.
a lot of people just don't get that. They never get the opportunity to do it because they never venture out and find their tribe. They never find their village.
They
And
don't get uncomfortable.
yeah, well, you don't grow. If you think about it, you never grow if you stay in comfortable situations, because if you're in a comfortable situation, you know everything. Like
Right.
when you get uncomfortable, that's when you grow. And there's been things that, God bless, Gypsy has put me in so many uncomfortable situations. But I would take Gypsy anywhere in the world with me. I might have to tell her to chill out before we walk into a place or watch her mouth. But I know for a fact there's not a better heart of a human being than Gypsy. And
A hundred.
from the outside looking in, anybody else would be like, what? Her? No, I'd put no. I've seen what she's done. I see how she acts. I've asked, and I know y'all are a little bit different. Y'all got four youngins. Y'all got a whole damn tribe running around your house. Like I get it. Like y'all are busy. There's been people that don't have youngins. There's been people that have got kids that are gone off to college or whatever, and they can do whatever they want, that I've invited to come to some of these veteran things. They never show up, and they could in a drop of a hat, never do. It's rare that Gypsy doesn't show up.
Right.
Gypsy's not out for anybody. Gypsy's not out for her. She's out to make a difference and help other people. And you
Yes.
just don't see that shit.
Right.
But I know y'all would. I know you and Maddie'd be there if you could, because y'all have been at some stuff. Like it's just
Oh my
it's.
gosh. Like, we are trying to do our calendar and everything right now, too, because now the boys, I'm so happy, Josh. The boys are back in football. So moving out here, it's like a fresh start. They can go, like, you know, moving to Vegas, I'm PG. So this is great. You know? But the boys are back in football. So it's really exciting for us because we didn't get to have that in Florida, you know, with all the stuff that happened with me with not being able to be there. And the first practice we were at, one of the parents met Matt and was like, "Oh, you know, this is what we do for a living." But it wasn't even like a conversation. It wasn't like, "Oh, what do you do for a living?" Like people used to ask, like in normal suburbia, that's like one of the first questions. It was just like, "Oh, we've been on a reality show, blah, blah, blah." And then I actually looked up the people on IG. And then one of the lines in the IG profile was top 1% in OnlyFans. And I was like, "Fuck yes." I was like, "Thank God I'm not the only OnlyFans mom," or whatever it is, you know. I'm like, cool. So everybody like doesn't give a shit. So I'm like, this is awesome. I finally get to just be mom and sit on the sideline, enjoy my kids playing a sport without having any eye, like nobody cares.
Yeah.
Like, at all. There's no side eyes, there's no nothing, because it's just the norm. And so, and everybody's just living like you see like the normal life cycle outside of what kind of people thought in Florida or whatever, of like what people it is that do what I do or whatever. So I get to be PG out here, and I'm like, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah, well, that's probably what you needed. Like,
Yes.
and I hated from the very beginning of all that, because once again, people didn't get to know you or Matt
Right.
the way that I have. It's like, she's not a bad person. I don't know why y'all have such a bad taste in your mouth about this woman. Like, that always pissed me off. Well, like, there's some people, I'm not even gonna knock, or I'm not, how do I put this? Because I really don't care if I piss anybody off anymore. But I want to make sure I say this the right way. There are some people that have been on this show that I will not vouch for about taking, like, being around folks, like, 'cause I don't think they would know how to act.
Right.
I don't think they can turn it off, because I think what they put online is actually them.
Who they are.
Yeah, like, but I think with you, you're a mother first. You're a content creator somewhere down the line, but you're a mother first. Last thing you would ever want to do is embarrass your children or draw attention away from your children. Like,
Yes.
I know that to be a fact about you. But like, there's some other people that I've seen on there. I could see why people would be judgy based off of other people. But with
Oh
when it comes,
yeah.
but it should be case by case. It should not be, I'm gonna judge Sarah based on some asshole over here. But I mean, but it's people. People are stupid. They're not gonna think before they talk. They're gonna prejudge. And I don't know. I'm a screwed up person, so I just don't prejudge people. Like,
It's hard.
but I get why some do.
And I think that's the hardest part, is that, stereotypes and stuff like that's very real. You know what I mean? So you see girls who do this, and then you automatically think, oh, well, she wants attention. But the majority of the industry of that is those type of girls. So it's hard to take like the 1% and of other women who aren't that way and
Yeah.
say, oh, well, they're not that way, because the majority acts like crazy people. And I mean, it's even worse out here. You see it all the time where you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But that's just the way it is. So unfortunately, like, you do have to deal with that, but it comes with the territory. And I think the only thing that I can do to make it better is to continue being who I am and be
Yeah.
dominant in that person, and make a difference for the other women who are just trying to be moms and who are just
Yeah.
trying to support their family and give their kids a better life. Because if I'm loud and I kind of take that slack, I at least get to build the thought of, well, maybe not all of them are like that. You know what I mean? So if I can help in that way, then I want to pave that way for other women. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and also too, it should be where if you don't like what somebody's doing, just don't look, don't watch. Who gives a shit? Like, that's like, I have a big problem. Like, anytime I post, which everybody does, anytime I post something, you always get a couple people that want to voice their opinion on some shit. And it's like, if you didn't like it, why even comment on it? I don't go on your shit and comment on it. Like, if I don't like what you do, I'm not going out of my fucking way to tell you I don't like what you do. Because then if I do, I'm smart enough to know, then it gets put in my algorithm that more of this bullshit is going to come up on my shit. And then I am literally the pro, like, I'm the problem again. One of the things that I am learning, that I've had to learn, because I found out, like, I should have learned this a long time ago, because I already have ADHD. I've known that forever. But with ADHD comes, in a lot of cases, you have impulse control. So, like, you overreact very quickly without even thinking. And it's like, you don't know you do it till it's too late. You instantly regret most of the shit that you do. So I had to find out that I had that the hard way. But like, I learned this. It's where you can't help what someone does, but you can help how you react. And
Right.
most of the time, how you react, it will fucking kill the situation. Like, I don't have to give you anything. Like, if I ask you something right now and you don't like it, you can diffuse the situation by how you answer, and it's over and done with. I mean, because you can put me in my place, so quick, or you can defer or whatever to where I know, like, we're not going down this road.
Right.
Like, we don't have to do it. And there's so many people out there, they'd rather be confrontational, but confrontational gets you nowhere. Like, and with those women that you're talking about, like, if you just don't like it, don't be confrontational towards them. Leave it the fuck alone. Go the other way. I don't have to sit here and bitch about them. Don't nobody have to watch their shit. Like, I just don't have to have them on the show. I just don't have to fuck with them. I can just be around people like you and the ones that I do like. You know, I like you. I like Missy. I like Gypsy. There's a lot that I'll give out. I like Tawny. I don't know if Tawny still does it no more.
Well, okay. So me and Tawny, like a lot, you know, we kind of went our separate ways because I feel like that the media company or whatever that we were both kind of, they were playing us apart and it was, and then we were both kind of in weird places in our lives, but, we're back, like we're back together and it's so great. Cause I just feel so whole. She was such a good friend to me and it was really sad the way things worked out. But now it's like, we both looked at it and we're like, whoa, we both took like accountability. I think that's a huge thing. Like when you have a situation in any relationship, it's not going to be perfect. Friendships are never perfect. There's going to be a disagreement, but it's about how you like rekindle that and say, okay, I was wrong this way. And when she says what she says, it just fills in the gaps where it's like, no, that's not even something I think about.
Yeah.
I'm like, that year was a messed up year. We've got the rest of our lives to have a great friendship and work towards really good goals together. So it's like that comes back around and it makes it just amazing. So me and her are really good friends again. And like, we're going to be teaming up with some stuff. Like I haven't even got to share with you. So like, you know, I'm stepping away from OnlyFans.
Okay.
Gradually, it's still there, but I joined a company called RealMe and it was like a godsend. So I believe everything happens for a reason, but I was in my, you know, I that's not something I wanted to do forever. So it didn't make me happy to have to continue to do this and, you know, whatever like that. I wanted more. So when this company reached out to me, they're like, hey, we're for creators. We're for helping these girls reach their goals. And we want to, you know, we're not going to take all your money. We're not here to take your money. We're here to provide the platform and really help you like excel in life. So they take, you keep 90% of your earnings. It is a subscription site, but there's not that stigma associated with it. And you make it what you want. You know, I became the brand ambassador and now I'm like really helping propel this company, but we're, you know, they have a management company where, you know, they'll take a percentage of a little bit higher of a percentage, but it's kept in-house to help the girls. If you want a podcast, if you want to start your own liquor line, if you want to do this, if you want to do that, you have a little honeypot where it helps you reach your goals outside of this industry. So, I mean, I'm going to have her team up with me on that too and get her in on that because she did step away from it for a while. And I want her to be able to, you know, she's incredibly intelligent. So it's like these girls have so much more value to them. And I want them to be able to use what we're doing right now as stepping stones into something greater in life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm glad, first of all, y'all are friends again because you two bitches put me right in the middle of that.
Well,
but you know,
you're like the voice of reason.
I know. And that's what was so adorable about it is both of y'all, like, I can't ever remember how old either one of y'all are. I'll be 37 in September. But like,
oh, I'm not as old as you.
Yeah, I don't think you are. I can't remember how old Tawny is. I think I'm older than her. Like,
I
can't remember, but I look like I'm older than both of y'all. But it's like, I was like, they're asking me for my opinion on this stuff. And it's like, I'm cool. Like, if both of these bitches at the same time are asking me like what to do. But I thought also too, y'all got put in a weird situation. And I hated that y'all got put in that situation. But I don't even know what that company's doing now, if they're doing anything.
Nothing.
Yeah, I didn't figure they would. I didn't figure they would. I saw what they, the more I saw what they were doing, and the, and like not knocking anybody that was hosting or anything by any means, because like they had some good hosts, but just what they were bringing in and how they were doing it, I knew it wasn't going to work. It wasn't real. It wasn't real enough. And it wasn't different. Like it's
Ohio. Ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
I try to tell everybody all the time that asks me about starting a podcast. First off, same thing that I don't know what the hell that was. You got to stand out. It's got to be something different. You have to be able to make people laugh. If you're going to do this like consistently, you got to make people laugh one day, cry the next, learn. You got to make them just enjoy this. It has to be all the time entertaining, and it can't ever be the same damn thing. If it's right. The same thing all the time, oh, you're done, dude. Like you can't. It gets so repetitive. If you're a one-trick pony,
yeah,
it doesn't work. It doesn't matter how many followers you have on social media. It does not matter. If you're a one-trick pony, you're going to die at it. Because you can't do nothing else. And yeah. You two are both really, really well-versed. I can talk to either one of you about a lot of shit. Like, a lot of shit. Like I said, me and you hadn't even really stayed on one subject, and we've been going on for fucking 40 minutes now. And there's not like, we've talked about nothing, but it's been good. Tawny's the same way. I can just run my mouth with her. So I get what they were trying to do, but also you don't do that. Like you don't do it the way they did it. Y'all working together on anything, I just really believe is successful. Like I do. Oh, yeah. Like y'all two together is successful. Like that's a home run every time.
Yeah.
Every fucking time. Plus, y'all, and also too, what's cool about y'all, you're enough alike that it works, but you're also enough not alike.
Yes.
That it works even better. Yeah. Like Tawny got that wild to her to where like you know, don't get me wrong.
I'm married.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I've seen you be a little wild. But Tawny wild. Like
yes.
Tawny got, I don't know what Tawny got, but Tawny got something. I don't like being around Tawny. Tawny scares me. You don't scare me. Like I love you to death. And I love Tawny too, but Tawny scares the fuck out of me. I don't know what, like, I don't know. I look at it, I've only been around her like a handful of times, but there's something about
she's
her.
She's a wild card. I think she'll put you in comfortable places.
I don't know if comfortable or uncomfortable. I don't know. Like, it's the bitch. I think she's going to beat my ass half the time. But the bad thing is, it's like, I might like it. I don't know. I don't know what to do most of the time. Like, I'm scared of her. I'm not scared of women, and I'm scared of Tawny.
Yeah. Oh shit, that's funny.
But I'm surprised she hasn't moved to Vegas. She seems like she'd be a good fit for Vegas.
I would love it, but she's got her family out there too, she can't, you know.
We've got to get y'all up to the September thing.
Yes.
Y'all got to come up there for September. What is are y'all getting like any, cuz what whenever y'all would come to Nashville, whenever y'all were consistently coming, y'all didn't bring the kids every time, did you?
No, we only brought them that one time.
Okay.
So.
Okay. I remember them being there. They were always fun to be there. What the fuck?
Yeah. They want to come back. They're like, oh, we want to go back. And I'm like,
your kids are so cool though. I had so much fun with them at New Year's. I think my shoulder still hurts from throwing the ball. Like, I'm pretty sure I threw my shoulder out that day. That hurts. That hurts so bad. That was a good party. I had a really good time until I didn't. until we got woke up at 5 o'clock and had to go home. Reagan, if you're listening, thank you for driving back, but I'll never go anywhere with you again that I feel like I have to be up all night. Holy shit, that was rough.
Dude, yes, it was rough. But now I'm actually happy. Like, the farm was awesome, but I feel so much better not having all that obligation. And so I'm like, we're in a newer house, and I feel like I could just live and work and not have to deal with all the bullshit of that property. It was haunted. It was crazy.
How do your kids like it out here?
They love it here. They are so happy. Like, they start school next week, so that'll be fun. We've had like a 5 month long summer since they were able to like test out early, and then we were able to move. But they're like really happy with football. Chandler's doing like cheerleading for the Raiders, and then Carson's in gymnastics. Like, they have so much going on for them here that they love it. And there's so much. Vegas is, it's funny because everybody thinks of Vegas as Vegas, but it is actually probably one of the coolest places I've ever lived because there's so much to do. We have Lake Mead, which is really incredible. You can go out there and it's like the mountains are surrounding this lake, and then you can do cliff jumping. You see rams and donkeys, and like, there's just so much wildlife. And then you have like in the winter, we can go like an hour up the road to the mountain and go snowboarding. And then, you know, cause my kids like to do stuff. So there's so much to do here that they're having so much fun. Like, and then there's arena football and tickets are like $5. Then you have, there's just always something going on. So there's always something to do. And the kids like to go to the casino because they've got the best food in the world. So they're just like, can we go here? Like, can we go do this? I'm like, oh my God.
I thought they could, like, they can't go into the casino though, right? They can only go.
Yeah, they can go into the casino. It's, the casinos have like movie theaters in them. It's like, they have the restaurants. They can't walk by the slot machines, like, but they can walk around the casino.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I did not realize that. Because I know, like, some of the ones that I go to, like, they won't even let, like, if you're 18 and under, you can't even go, like, on the casino floor.
Right. But the buildings are all, like, I mean,
they're way bigger out there.
It's probably like a mall.
Yeah, it's probably way different. It's probably way different. Well, besides for the Real Me stuff, what's some other stuff you got going on?
So, oh my God. I just hit 1 million on Instagram, so that was pretty cool.
That's good.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, this is nuts. A million people want to follow. You know, it's always surreal because you're like, really? So I have the Real Me thing going on. I'm working with them. I've got a lot of stuff out here that I'm doing. I do a lot of like promotion and influencing for like different companies that want to work with me, different like venues. Next week, I'm going to be walking in Vegas Swim Week.
Vegas Swim Week? Is that what I think it is?
It's like just like the bikini companies, nothing outrageous.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, it sounds like it's a swimsuit modeling thing.
Yes. Okay. So basically just different companies and stuff like that.
It didn't fucking mean anything bad.
Well, my mind goes, I'm like, hold on.
What did you do? Yeah, I didn't mean anything fucking bad.
And then I did start the Sarah Blake Show back up. So
good. Very proud of you for that.
I'm really proud of myself for that. That's something that I've wanted for so long. And I've just kind of waited on it until I felt sure of myself.
Yeah.
Like you did. I had to do a lot of soul searching, and I had to really think about what I wanted and how I wanted to share myself, and how, you know, everybody else wants me to share myself versus kind of like what makes me happy. And And now I'm like, I don't care if it takes off. I don't care if it doesn't. I'm doing it on my pace. And until it's where I want it to be, then I'll be happy with it. But I want it to be like about my life, who's in my life, who I love, and you know, who I want to talk to and just have normal conversations with. I don't want to be put into a box where it's like everybody wants me to do sports in like sports analysis. And while I love sports, it's my hobby. It's my passion. I want to talk to the people that I know in the sports community about their life and why we're friends and you know what
Well,
they like to
you should
do.
make it to where if it comes up, it comes up. Yeah,
Right.
you don't force it with this. Like I had a program director back in radio and he taught me something, and it's like it's your job as the host of a show to put a ball down, and the ball's a metaphor for you. I know you blonde as hell. Like
Where?
yeah, you put a ball down in a conversation and it's your job to put that ball down so well that they pick it up and they run with it. Like, so you're supposed to lead the conversation to where they want to veer it that way, or it's where you're driving the conversation towards that and you let them open that door. You give them the opportunity to do it. So like like you just let that kind of stuff comes natural, because all a podcast really is somebody eavesdropping on a conversation. If it
Right.
starts to sound like an interview, they can go listen to radio. Like
I
they
know.
don't want to hear it for that. They don't, nobody want to listen to me and you talk like, "Hey Sarah, tell me about your next photo shoot. Tell why we
Yeah, no.
butt cheek spread, titty out. What are we doing here?" Like nobody cares. Nobody gives a shit about that. They want to know about the people talking and their point of views and all that shit. Like that's what they want to know. That's what works.
Yeah. So that's what, you know, like with the sports industry and stuff, everybody's kind of always like pulled me that way. And because it's, I like it and I'm good at it and it's fun. So, you know, I like that's kind of the direction I want to take now and we'll see where that goes. And so I've got that going on. But I'm scaling back. I did have, I was supposed to be out in Knoxville for five performances. I was putting together a show that's like Magic Mike, all right? And I really got this idea because I went to the Thunder Down Under
Oh
out
my
here
God.
for an influencer thing. And when I tell you, I took my drink and I covered the top because I was like, oh God, like, you know, it was just not, no, thank you. Nothing was hot or attractive. The women in there were going crazy, but I was just like covering my drink and I'm like, oh my God, this is so uncomfortable for me.
Why
Like,
were
this is
you? Why were you covering your drink? You thought tip was fixing to get dangled in it?
I don't want ball sweat to drop into my margarita, you
Okay,
know? Like, you're
okay.
like, oh, but all the guys were gay anyways, so it's like
Yeah.
you can tell that right away. You're just like, okay, they're gay. They want nothing to do with me. They're putting on a show. Whatever. This is a lot for me to handle because you're like, I don't know if a lot of girls like it, but I don't want to see balls swinging and like. And
Yeah.
then when they're in their G-string, I'm like, I think I have the exact same G-string. So then it
Yeah.
just is fucking with my head. But while I was sitting there, I'm like, you know, strip clubs are great. They are what they are, but they're everywhere. I'm like, how come there's not something that's like this, that's interactive, that's like a show, but that could be for women also. You know what I mean? Because women like hot women and they would love to see like a show put together like this. But if it was just like real women and, you know, kind of like this show. So I was putting together this whole thing, and I was going to use my five performances in Knoxville. I was going to use that for the foundation of the show. So I might still do that, but I'm trying to scale back on all of these dreams and all of these things that I want to do because it takes so much of my energy that I still want to be able to be at my kids' football games and be
Yeah.
mom, and I don't have to continue to chase and chase. Like, I'm okay.
Yeah,
So.
don't wear yourself out with too much. It's just
Yes.
it's not that it's not worth it, don't get me wrong. 'Cause
It's just too much.
it is, but like
Yeah.
if you start to get to the point to where you're just exhausted, if you're too exhausted from everything else you're doing, like some of us just forget that we work so hard sometimes that we forget to actually live and enjoy our lives. When we get to that point, we have to scale back. Like if you're busting your ass so much that you're not enjoying life, then why are you busting your ass?
Right. That's where my revelation came in like a month ago. I'm like, what am I doing? Like,
yeah,
I haven't, everything that I do is work. I have, like, if I go out here and I go to a nightclub, that's an appearance or that's, you know, promotion for somebody. So I'm like, hold on a minute. I don't think I've taken a vacation. And I actually, so I lost my grandma this year. And that was really, really hard.
Sorry about
but
that.
I'm still grieving, but it made me really look at life and say, she lived her life exactly by her terms. And I want to continue to like chase that and live by my terms, but really live in my life. I'm okay with my career. I don't have to continue to, you know, to achieve things that at the end of the day, it's like, okay, like I got a magazine cover. That's amazing. But at the end of the day, I didn't get to take a vacation with my kids and see them snorkel with, you know, the fish or whatever it is that they're doing. And it's like those memories and like that is so much more to me. So I'm like, I'm trying to scale back and live in my life and enjoy, you know, I'm not going to be 30 forever. I'm not going to be this age and I'm not going to look like this forever. So I'm like, I still want to enjoy living in this body right now with my kids and being able to wakeboard with them before I'm elderly and I can't pull myself up on a freaking wakeboard.
It's funny you say that. When my granddaddy died, like two Christmases ago, this year will be three Christmases ago, I guess. I had the same thing. It's just like, man, I've got to do more. Like I've got to get out more. I've got to enjoy life more. I've got to see the world more. I got to be around the people that I love more. Like I've got to, whenever they do like the pictures of stuff above the casket and all that shit. And I saw all the shit that he did and like the places he went and everything and the smile on his face and all that kind of stuff. It's like, yeah, I've got to do more. There's just no way like I'm going to be limited to this. And like, I was already doing stuff then, but like, it's like, no, like there's this stupid ass thing and I've said it forever. And I do mean it. It's so fucked up. You know who David Allan Coe is?
Yeah.
Okay. I figured you did. David Allan Coe has this quote and it sounds so stupid to most people, but to me, it just makes the most sense in the world. But he has this quote, and he says, when I die, I don't want anybody to walk past my casket and say, oh, he looks good. Like, he looks like he's sleeping. He says, no, when I die, I want people to walk past my casket and be like, that motherfucker is dead. He doesn't look like, he doesn't look like there's an ounce of life left in his body. He wants it to be where he lived every ounce of life, that his gas tank was on E at the end of the day. Now, that can mean whatever it wants for whoever, like, because he's lived a hard life. I don't necessarily want to live a hard life anymore, but I want to live a life. Like, I want to live until my gas tank is on E, to where there is no life left in my body. And you've got to live in order to drain that tank. And there's just not a lot of people that actually take the time and take the chances to go drain that tank. They'd rather keep the money in the bank account instead of draining that tank. And that's just not what life is. But we wasn't put here to live and work a 9-to-5. We were not. We were put here to worship. We were put here to enjoy our friends and our family. We were put here to love. We were put here to say God's name. We were put here to just be good people to each other. Like, that's what we were put here for, not to make a bunch of money. All right, once again, we got to have money. I know we do, but we were put here to live, laugh, and love. Like, I know as cliche as that sounds, but that's what we're here for.
And you can always make money. Yeah. How much, this world is full of money. So tomorrow, you can always go out and make money, but you can't always spend X amount to go do something crazy with your kids or go do something with yourself or whatever it is, because you can still go make money tomorrow. But that memory and that time, that freeze frame, it goes away. So, and it's funny because like the boys are playing right now. They're playing football for the Bishop Gorman prep team. So, which is really cool. And it made me realize like, wow. Like we used to go to church. We went to like a Baptist church, but we took a break because there was they put the fear of God in you. And then we had to start like explaining to the kids. They were scared. They're like, oh my God, we're going to die. And all these things. And I'm like, all right, let's just pause this till we can really learn what it really means. And I don't want them to be afraid. Cause I grew up Catholic. So I was, if you're Catholic, you're just kind of like, oh, I sinned, the priest will forgive me. Fuck it. There's purgatory. Like I'm good, but being Baptist, it's like the fear of God and, you can't sin or you have to be saved and all this stuff. So there's a lot of different interpretation with different religions and all these things. So I wanted them to have kind of the foundation that I have where it's a little bit more spiritual and, they know that they have a good relationship and that, Jesus has got them and all of these things. So now they pray before, after every practice and they have that out here because their coach is Samoan and, they have like this, like they're playing with the big dogs and they're learning the Our Father. So they're like, the first time I saw them in the circle, they're kind of looking at everybody else, like what, praying, and they're like listening to Our Father. And then now they're like, all right, Mom, we really want to learn this prayer. So they're learning it and they're saying it. And now my kids every night, they're like, Mom, we want to pray. And it's become a part of them. So like moving from one place to another, a lot of people think like, oh my God, how are your kids going to adjust? Is this okay? Is this whatever it is? And I'm like, they adjusted and they're learning, but they're also adapting to things that I wanted them to naturally adapt to and accept at what point in their life they wanted it.
Yeah.
So now we're starting to get into like more like the spiritual aspect of things. And like, for me, I've embraced, have you ever studied like the gifts of the Holy Spirit?
I have not.
Okay. So I have always been kind of intuitive and like perceptive, but I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, I feel people's energies and all this stuff. I started studying why I am the way I am. Like, I'm like, why do I, like, I can see things differently than other people. If I'm around somebody, I can feel if they're like a good person or what their intentions are or what it is. And because I don't talk at first. I'm a huge talker, but that's when I get to know somebody. I'm very quiet at first. And I wondered why. I'm like, is that because I'm shy or like, why am I like this? And it's because I'm reading somebody. So I started to look at it and I feel like I was given the gift of discernment. And I think that's why like my connections with people are different than other people's. And, I think that my kids have that sometimes too with adults and stuff. So we've like dived into like all of these little details of what makes us who we are and why we act the way we do. And I think it's just been such a spiritual, like healing part of finding out like why you're the way you are. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's something that I've had to learn. There was a video that I made not long ago and it was after a sermon that I listened to. And it was, you don't know why someone is the way they are. And you don't know what they've been through. You don't know what's made them the way they are. But you have to be able, and this, I'm so quick to jump the gun on anything that I've never looked at it from anybody's point of view but mine. I've always been the person that's been like, you don't know why I am the way I am, so don't come at me like that.
Right.
But I've never been the person that's been like, till recently, it's like, I don't know why you are the way you are. So it's like, how can I sit here? The example I gave in this video that I made, I was like, how can I sit here and bitch about my trauma or something that I went through as a child because I dealt with alcoholics growing up, but you were abused growing up? Or I sit here and say, oh, I grew up in a single wide, but you grew up in a house with no doors. Like, that discernment that you have or empathy that you have for somebody else, you have to develop that. And when you develop that, you grow. And until you get that, you just, I don't know. You're just doing a good job. I'm just really, really proud of you. Like, I was proud of you, dude. Like, you, I don't know. I just love hearing you talk about that kind of stuff. Cause you don't get that from everybody. You just don't. That's cool.
Well, thank you.
Makes me happy.
Makes me happy too. I feel like it's been a journey this last year. I had to really look at some stuff about myself and you know, people get caught up too. Like, we all make excuses, you know, if we have trauma, we all make these excuses. We're like, God, man, I've been through a lot and I don't want to go through more, or I don't want to keep pushing myself to do this, or it's gonna, you know, I've been through this. I don't want to go through that again. And I think when I got out of that mindset of, okay, I'm putting myself in situations that make me feel either comfortable or situations that aren't going to help me be who I naturally am. If I'm not naturally feeling like I can be myself around people, then that's probably not the best place for me to be.
Yeah. But let me tell you something I'm figuring out about myself though, is you have to be around people that will not judge you by your past.
Yes.
And you also have to be around people in your present that will not push you to be the person that you used to be.
Yes.
Like, if you're around new people, so like with me, I've had to get away from hanging around certain people. Does not mean you have to quit loving them. Does not mean it's not that you don't respect them. Does not mean any of those things at all. But there comes a time that you can't outgrow people. And when you outgrow them, you have to be okay with that, the fact that you outgrew them.
Yes.
And, dude, when you start to get around that new circle, it does something. Because you start to, those insecurities that the old circle gave you, that new circle is going to reinforce those insecurities are not there.
Yes.
Everything that the old circle built in you, the other circle is going to break down those walls. That's like you can be in a bad relationship with somebody, and then a new relationship, it might take forever, but it'll break down every bit of it. And like, I'm just telling you, like, it's okay to leave that old circle behind. And you might be alone for a little while. There's a time period, and it wasn't like you ever turned your back on me, Gypsy. There's like most of our Nashville friends and that family, none of them. And there's people around here that didn't either. But there are some people that I just had to be like, I'm not going around these people anymore. I don't want to do it. I don't want them in my life. It's not that they're a bad person, but I know they don't fit in my life anymore than I fit in theirs. I know it doesn't fit. It doesn't work. Why am I trying to make it work? And when you're alone, and that, it's called the waiting season. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but so like, okay, it's your waiting season.
Okay.
So you're going to have a season in your life that is just you waiting for everything. You're going to feel like you're stagnant, but here's the fucking cool thing about it. If you've already went through your losing season to where, and that's what, like, I call my breakup with an old girl my losing season, but it wasn't just her. It was, I told you earlier, like, I was so unhappy with everything. I just didn't realize I was. And it took like one thing to really break everything down for me. So like, that was my failure season. The middle part that I'm in right now is my waiting season, to where, like, this is your season to where you have to learn where you failed. You have to learn what you need to correct. You have to learn what you can do better, or how you're supposed to be doing it. But the thing that God teaches you, or a lot of things teach you, is if you learn in that period, you have two choices in the waiting season. You either learn how to do it right and then the next season is your victory season where everything works out for you, or you waller in your waiting season and you're just always waiting. So it's either your waiting season is really your season of maturity and growth, but it's like you're stagnant, but it's your choice to either grow or you can just sit there and wait. You don't have another option. And one of the things that I just fucking love, you know, you said something about your grandmother a while ago and it got me thinking about it. And it was making me thinking about what happened to me a couple months ago. Let me pull it up on my phone. But I came to find out that the Lord, like, it's literally a Bible verse, and I didn't realize it was a Bible verse, but the Lord loves the brokenhearted. I didn't realize this was a Bible verse. Lord loves the brokenhearted. But I'm going to read you the actual verse, and then I'm going to tell you what it would actually mean. Oh, yeah, Psalms 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those spirits that have been crushed. So the sermon that I was listening to, the reason why the Lord loves the brokenhearted, if you're broken, it's more pieces for you to give him. And it's more pieces of you to give to others. So the same way I was telling you earlier, that when people say, I'm doing me, that's not you being
Christ. You're closing off.
You're closing off. You're not doing what you were meant to do. You're supposed to give yourself to the world. You're supposed to be helping people. You're supposed to be giving yourself to others. That you're supposed to be an extension of God. You're supposed to be a blessing. That's what you're supposed to be trying to do. And dude, when I heard that shit, the same, like, I saw you get a little choked up a while ago. I was thinking to myself, I was like, you know what though? What she probably doesn't get is, as bad as that hurt and you're brokenhearted from it, you probably have the opportunity to help people because of it. Like, and that's right. The thing. If that's your season of waiting right now because you're still in pain from it, what can you do in your season right now because you're brokenhearted to help others in their season because of it? And I'm telling you, when you start looking at stuff like that, instead of why am I hurting? There's another quote. Here's another one.
You always hit it hard with the damn quotes.
I know, but here's one of my new favorite ones, though. Suffering ceases to be suffering the moment you find out why you're suffering. So when you figure out why you're going through the pain you're going through, you're no longer in pain. So when you find your purpose in your pain, and then you figure out what you can do to help others to keep from suffering, to keep from going through pain, you no longer feel pain.
That's true.
I'm telling you. It's crazy.
It is nuts.
Yeah. I know now the same way that I was with the mental health stuff that I've been so adamant about for years. I know that I already knew that I had to go through that stuff to put out into the world. But I know now the reason why I have not. I know my show is successful. The reason why it has not gotten more successful is because along the way, there has been lessons that I did not learn that I should have learned and put that out into the world.
Right.
I know now because of the past couple months, the lesson that I learned from that, I now know that just how the past 10 minutes of the conversation and earlier in the show and all that kind of stuff, I know what this is supposed to be.
Right.
And it's like, when you figure out what it's supposed to be compared to what you want it to be, it's going to run smoother. Everything's going to work better. It's your whole life. It's stupid. I have just got it just embedded in my head, and I know I'm older than you. I'm like a fucking grandpa to you at this point. But I'll be 37 in September. It's not like I've had a horrible life. It really is not. I've had things not go my way, but who the hell hasn't, right?
Right.
I've never got out of my own way And I've always had faith. Don't get me wrong. I do not think that the good Lord is calling me to be a preacher by any means. If I thought that that was the case, we'd be having a different conversation entirely. I wouldn't be doing this show. I wouldn't be talking the way I'm talking. But I know that there's different things that I can do to touch people that people are going to hear and make them think compared to just talking some bullshit. And I feel like me being aware of that and then not doing anything about it is like be given a blessing and then turning your back on it.
Right.
So like, even with you, like be aware, like if you know that you're given a blessing, like don't turn your back on it, because if you do, you're going to get screwed. You're going to screw yourself, because that's what I believe I did recently. Like I believe that I screwed myself with a situation with a relationship because I was ignoring blessings that were given to me, things that I should have been doing. And then I dug a hole so deep that there was no way to get out of it. And now I know though, you don't ignore those blessings and you actually do what you're supposed to do, and everything around you turns into a blessing.
That's kind of crazy. Like, you know what I mean? Because if you think about it, for me in my spot, like I'm grieving, right? And I miss my grandma more than anything in the world. And I'm like trying to figure out how to like move on, but still not move on. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to move on and for like, you know, like the whole grieving process is crazy to me.
Yeah.
So it's like you go through this and then you're supposed to like, you know, be able to deal with it. I don't want to deal with it. Like I still want to be exactly the way it was. Just piece of truth is not here anymore. So I think that's where I'm like hung up on it, is I'm like, I don't want to like get over it or not be sad that she's not here.
You want to know why?
I just want to, why?
Because misery loves company, and the only person that can get out of misery is you. Like, because you want to wallow in it. I'm serious. Like, cause I'm the same way. Like, the only person that can walk away from misery is you. Misery is never going to leave you. Like that stupid ass saying, misery loves company, is true. It's never, ever going to leave you as long as you allow it to hang around. My grandmother passed away like in 01. My mom still harps on it today. She still harps on it today, but she never let it leave her. Instead of seeing, like, at some point in time, grieving is hard. Like, you should deal with it in your own way. I'm not saying you shouldn't.
Yeah.
But I think when it comes to something like that, we all have to realize, hey, you know, this person lived a great life. They left a great impact on me. I know that they loved me. All this other type of stuff. Like, I know that they were amazing. Like, know all that and know, like, hey, not that it is what it is, but we can't do anything to change it now. They don't want me to sit here and wallow in misery. Like, at some point in time when you're ready, you have to let the misery go. You can't be miserable because of something you can't change. You there?
Sorry.
It's okay.
The dogs that were barking.
Are you good?
But no, I completely get that. It's different perspective. You know what I mean? Yeah. You look at it and you're like, wow.
Yeah. Well, the saying, when you're ready to be happy, allow your, well, I shouldn't say that. You should never forget. Like, I think about my family that's passed on and friends and loved ones all the time, right? But it's how you start to think about it. Like, at some point in time, it does stop hurting, but you have to allow it to stop hurting. Like, that's up to you when you allow it to stop hurting. And you replace that hurting, and you're still going to cry, but you replace that hurt with an overwhelming love. And it's just like, you remember, like, instead of it being like anxiety and just that, oh, it hurts my heart so bad.
Right.
You just fill it with love and tears. And you just remember the good stuff. And you're like, you know what? They don't want me to be sad. They don't want me to be miserable. Like, I know somewhere right now my granddaddy's fishing in heaven. And he's way happier than being here. He's up there with my grandma. Like, he's way happier. Like, he'd tell me to shut the hell up right now if I was crying. I know he would be. And, you know, it's just at some point in time, we have to just be like, if that's what they would have wanted, why am I sitting here not doing what they would have wanted?
Right.
But
that's true.
But anyway, I think that's how we end it with tears.
Yeah.
I think that's how we end it with tears. But anyway, drop
your shots.
Hey. Got to make them cry sometime. But anyway, that's how we end the show. I love you to death. Drop your social medias. We'll get out of here. I'm going to drop this about 5 o'clock today. So make sure you go tell the millions of people that you got on Instagram and everything to go follow me and follow the show. And listen to your episode.
So head to Only Sarah Blake on IG, Twitter, it's Sarah Cheeky One, and TikTok, I think it's Only Sarah Blake also. Those are my socials. Make sure you follow me. Thank you, Josh, for having me on.
Anytime, darling. I love you.
Love you too.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye.
Bye.